Hello, fellow rebel capitalists. Hope you're well. So the Bank of England just came out and gave a warning to the Brits. And they said that everyone needs to prepare for apocalyptic. And that's the word they use. That's not my word. That's their word. Food prices. Apocalyptic food prices. So let's get right into this article from CNBC and check this out. I mean, I don't want to completely blame this on what's happening with Russia, Ukraine, and the West's response to all of these, or the West's response to Russia invading Ukraine with all these sanctions and whatnot. And that plays a big role. China shutting down completely, pretty much, that plays a big role. But it goes way back. I mean, this goes back to 2020. When you lock down the entire global economy, you've got to expect long-term unintended consequences. And these are the consequences you get. Well, let's just hit pause for a moment. And let's just assume for a moment that we never had the Cerveza sickness. And let's also assume that in 2022, Russia invaded Ukraine. Do you honestly think that we would have the food shortages that we have today and the lack of food, the lack of variety and the food prices just going parabolic? Now, it is true that if you had a disturbance with Russia, Ukraine, that we would see that impact food prices and there would be unintended consequences or there would be knock-on effects. But there's no way that we would see the problems to the degree to which we are seeing them today if it wasn't for the fact that these global elites, these central planners and crazy politicians locked everyone in a cage. And this obviously freezes the global economy. It disrupts and destroys supply chains. And when you have globalization to the degree which we had it, then you're going to have knock-on effects for a long, long time. You can't just lock people in a cage. Nobody goes to work. Nobody produces goods or services. And then just be like, oh, well, yeah, I mean, we can just turn it off and turn it on. I mean, it's easy. It's like a light switch. I mean, the global economy, yeah, we'll just turn it off for about 6 months or so. And then we'll just start right where we left off. No biggie. Nothing's going to happen. I mean, that's insanity. And this is why I say on my channel over and over and over and over and over again, you've got to look at a cost-benefit analysis. And going back to the Cerveza sickness, when I was speaking out about against lockdowns almost on a daily basis, I said, okay, let's just assume for a moment that you're going to save some lives. How many lives are you going to destroy? And now we are seeing that. So how many people are now impoverished? How many people have a lower standard of living today? Not just in the UK, not just in Ukraine, Russia, Africa, but right here in the United States as a result of government policies going back to 2020. You see, and then go back to the fact, and that's omitting the fact that the lockdowns did all, basically zero as far as any type of health benefit. But even giving the politicians and the central planners the benefit of the doubt back then and saying, well, we've got to do something. Okay, fine. In their wildest, most optimistic expectations, how many lives did you save? And at the end of the day, you have to say, okay, that was a benefit, but what was the cost? And it's a horrible calculation to have to make. But when you're dealing with a pandemic and you're dealing with a globalized economy and you're dealing with supply chains and you're dealing with stuff the central banks can't print, like food and energy, unfortunately, those are the tough decisions that we have to make. So that's my rant for the video. Let's get into the actual article. Headline, this from CNBC. This is not from Zero Hedge or something like that. skipping meals and shrinking portions. Brits are being warned of apocalyptic food price rises. Key talking points. A quarter of Brits have resorted to skipping meals. They have, not they will, they have. Amid worsening inflationary pressures and food scarcity concerns, according to one survey. More than 4 in 5 people in the UK are worried about rising living costs and their ability to afford basic necessities over the next 6 months. The findings, and keep in mind, I think the overnight rate in the UK is like 1%. So, I mean, talk about just a human tragedy, not just of what the governments did around the surveillance sickness, but now with these central banks not raising rates. Again, it's a tough decision, but someone has to have the guts to do the right thing. And the decision now is, do we want to destroy the or hurt the economy, probably destroy the economy by bringing down the stock market and bring down the cost of food to where poor people can actually afford it again? Or do we just let this run, crush the poor people to try to save this, as Peter Schiff says, the bubble economy, and I couldn't agree more, and try to save the stock market and people who own assets. It's just, we've been sacrificing the poor and the lower middle class for the rich and the upper middle class, pretty much going back to the end of the 1990s, but especially since 2020. So these findings come after Bank of England Governor Andrew Bailey pointed to forthcoming apocalyptic food crises or crisis. So then they go on to kind of restate the key talking points. But they said in this survey, 2,000 Brits conducted by Ipsos and Sky News, 89% said they were concerned about cost of living, while 83% were concerned about their personal circumstances. While the picture was broadly similar nationwide, those with lower wages really worried. Exactly what I'm talking about. Exactly what I am talking about. All of these government policies, they benefit, or at the very best, they don't hurt the rich to the degree to which they hurt the poor. But yet they keep doing, not only do they keep doing them, they do more and more and more, especially when you're looking at things like quantitative easing and, you know, the lockdowns. Who got hurt by those lockdowns? It wasn't the rich people that could just, like me, that could just work on Zoom. No, it was the poor people that don't work on the internet, that don't work on their computers, that they have to actually go into work. They have to build the homes. They have to serve the food. They have to sell the clothing. These are the people that it really hurts. And you say, oh, well, we'll just take care of them. We'll just give them stimmy checks. Or like Noah Havari, you know, the consultant guy with the World Economic Forum in Klaus, he just says, oh, well, all these meaningless people, we'll just give them stimmies and drugs and video games. You know, that's his solution to the problem. That's how the global elite see you, the people watching this live stream right now. That you're just this inferior species, and we just need to give you bread and circuses, or the modern day version of bread and circuses, which are just stimmies, video games, and drugs. I mean, if you really think about this, it's disgusting. I mean, it makes you sick to your stomach what these people do and knowingly do. And what I'm talking about there is this central planning, this tops down approach that they know is going to have unintended consequences and knock-on effects that inversely affect the poor and middle class. So the under 20,000 pounds, which is $25,000, describing themselves as very concerned about making ends meet this year. Yes, that's what happens when, and by the way, let's not let the Fed off the hook. You know, they've had this inflation target of 2%. Okay, why? So you want to make people poorer by 2% every year? Because you know darn well that wages lag the CPI. So they're explicitly stating that they want people at the lower end of the economic totem pole to feel the pain of higher prices, or feel the pain of their wages not going up with the price of the stuff they buy every day, the cost of living. I mean, how sick in the head do you have to be to explicitly say that this is your objective? And then when inflation gets to 7.5, 8.5, you know, you're still sitting there saying that it's transitory. Really? Tell that to the person that makes $35,000 a year. Just go ahead and tell them that. Just say, oh, but quit your bitching. Quit your bitching, average Joe and Jane. This is all transitory, not admitting the fact that, let's just assume that it is transitory. That doesn't mean the high watermark for prices come back down to where they were in 2019. No, absolutely not. Even if we were to get 0% inflation for the next 5 years, the prices would still be 20% higher, or whatever they are, than they were in 2019. They're not going back. We'd have to have deflation in order for them to go back. And therefore, even if we have smaller levels of inflation, it's still going to exacerbate the problem of the poor and middle class being pinched and losing more and more of their purchasing power and seeing their real wages continue to go down. Hey guys, I want to remind you to get your tickets to Rebel Capitalist Live. This is the live conference I do twice per year with all of your favorite speakers from the Rebel Capitalist show and experts in investing, commodities, real estate, freedom, and liberty. All of your favorite topics, all of your favorite speakers. The next Rebel Capitalist Live is going to be in Miami, and tickets increase in price as we get closer to the event. So go to rebelcapitalistlive.com right now to get your tickets to the next Rebel Capitalist Live. It's the conference you cannot afford to miss. It'll help you increase your financial freedom and, more importantly, your personal freedom. You'll get intel that you won't hear anywhere else. Past speakers have included icons in macroeconomics, investing, and personal freedom and liberty. People like Dr. Ron Paul, Robert Kiyosaki, Brent Johnson, Lynn Alden, Jeff Snyder, Richard Werner, Mark Moss, Lynette Zhang, and Robert Breedlove, just to name a few. So once again, go to Rebel Capitalist Live right now and get your tickets today. Major British caterer said separately Tuesday that schools were now facing difficult decisions as to whether to reduce meal sizes or lower quality of ingredients. At the very least, regardless of what your view is on how the government handled the cerveza sickness, even if you're in favor of it, you have to, at the very least, this has to open your eyes up to the possibilities of unintended consequences and knock-on effects for central planning. This is what happens. Whenever you get any type of central planning, you always get 2, 3, 5, 10 years later, the, oh, whoops, we didn't think of that. Yeah, you didn't think of that because it's impossible to know, because we're dealing with an economy with billions of transactions daily. There's no way that any supercomputer or any Klaus or Noah Havari or Jeff Bezos or Bill Gates can think of all the variables that go into those billions of transactions that occur daily. That's why a decentralized, bottoms-up approach, free market capitalism, is always going to be superior to central planning. I'm not saying it's perfect, but it's better than our other options. And it's going to, at the end of the day, it's going to have fewer unintended consequences and therefore be the best option for not only the rich, but more importantly, the poor and middle class. And this is just a great example. I mean, for all the do-gooders back in 2020 that were saying, oh, we need to have, you know, I'm sure the mandates played into this. We need to have lockdowns. We need to have mandates. We need to do this. Okay, good job. And then we need to do stimmy checks. The government has to take care of all the people, blah, 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 by sending them free money. We need to do PPP loans. We need to have the Fed come out and backstop corporate debt with a special purpose vehicle, even though it's obviously against the Federal Reserve Act. We need to have all these things. Okay, well, good job. Because now, as a result of that, we have the school kids that are either going to get less food or even more garbage food than they already have. I mean, think about that for kids. We've subjected them to wearing masks every day of their life in a lot of areas. And for the little kids, we put masks on their face, but the parents' face, so they can't psychologically develop. And now we're giving them even crappier food than we were giving them before, as if school lunches could get any worse. Unintended consequences, guys. We always have to look at the knock-on effects and the unintended consequences of any central planning, but especially when you're doing it to the degree of locking people in a cage for 6 months and shutting down the global economy and thinking that you can just print money and paper over the problem. Oh, we can just, no one can go to work and we can just print money and give it to them. And that's not going to cause any long-term problems. So the gentleman with the Bank of England says, sorry for being apocalyptic for a moment, but this is a major concern, he said. Yeah, of course it's a major concern. Yeah, food is a big deal at the end of the day. Bailey added that such external factors could have a great impact on price increases than any recent forthcoming interest rate hikes. Let's remember that the interest rate hikes would most likely bring down the prices. The central bank chief, who has spearheaded four consecutive interest rate hikes since December, dismissed suggestions that policy make. So then how can you have these thoughts in your head at the same time? So this guy from the Bank of England is sitting here talking about how these food prices and food shortages will be catastrophic, these food price increases. But then they say, oh, well, do you think you should have raised rates earlier then? Oh, no, of course not. Absolutely not. What a piece of garbage. He's lying. You know that he's lying. I mean, he's not stupid enough to believe that higher interest rate, you know, if he took rates to 10%, you're telling me food prices wouldn't come down? It wouldn't be surprising to see food price inflation over the course of the year running towards 8 to 10%. And if the government is saying 8 to 10%, just go ahead and double that. That's the real number. The wider UK inflation is at a 30-year high of 7% last month amid rising energy costs. And it's not just higher food prices, it's food scarcity. And this, to a large degree, is because of what's happening with Russia and Ukraine, but it's also a result of these sanctions that you put on Russia. So, and this is what I've been saying from the beginning. The sanctions are going to hurt the EU most likely far more than they're going to hurt Russia. So why do them? Because these central planners want a virtue signal, and the rich people just want to make themselves feel good, like they're doing something. Take that, Putin. So they can sleep well at night just telling themselves that they're doing something, when in reality, the only thing they're doing is hurting the poor people that live in Europe. And it is true, they're hurting the Russians to a certain degree. But I would argue the poor people in Europe have had their standard of living go down to a greater degree than the poor and middle class in Russia. And here's a tidbit that I didn't even know. They said that the largest producer exporter of chicken in Ukraine and major supplier of grain and sunflower. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. This gentleman is the chairman of the largest chicken and grain sunflower oil in Ukraine, I guess. Okay. I've never seen anything like this, he said. But then he goes on, you know, with his Klaus speak. He says, we have COVID. Okay, not really. I mean, can we really blame that now? No, of course not. But what we can blame is the government's response to it. We're still dealing with that, that's for sure. We've got the war. Okay, I'll give him that. We've got the China policy. I'll give him that. But again, that's the government and central planners' policy toward the cerveza sickness. It isn't the cerveza sickness itself. Then he goes on to say, this has made freight almost impossible. He says, and then we've got climate change. So hat tip, Klaus Schwab. He's got to throw that in there. And listen, this is not the end of the unintended consequences. This is going to get worse and worse and worse throughout 2022, in my opinion. And we talked about cooking oil, that Indonesia, which is one of the largest suppliers of cooking oil, is banning exports. And now we see that India is banning wheat exports to manage overall food security in the country. Oh, here we go. Indonesia, meanwhile, earlier implemented restrictions on exports of palm oil, a key component in many food products, in a bid to curb food shortages at home. So this is just like the lockdowns, and that when the politicians make these decrees from up high, they sit there and do them and completely ignore any of the knock-on effects that we'll have in years to come. And you'd think they'd learn with the lockdowns, but we're still doing them. Oh yeah, let's sanction Russia. Let's not take the blame off Russia. You know, let's invade Ukraine. And well, I guess when they're invading, they're probably not really too concerned with, the poor people in those other countries. Maybe that's the point of the invasion in the first place. You know, I think that needs to be a question that we're all asking ourselves. People say, oh, well, Putin and Russia are losing the war. Well, it depends on what their objectives are, right? If their objectives is to hurt the EU, the poor middle class, and create inflation, are they losing or winning, right? If their objective is to get the world to de-dollarize, are they winning or losing? I don't know. But again, my overall point here is, regardless of whether you're a central planner in Russia, Ukraine, UK, the United States, it's all the same. There's no group of central planners that are better than the others. Absolutely not. And whatever they do, they're going to have unintended consequences that ripple throughout the entire global economy for potentially decades to come. And the more they do, the bigger those ripples and the higher the price the poor and middle class have to pay. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. As always, make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism. See you in the next video.